You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, July 15th, episode 3997, brought to you today by our friends at Chewy. Good morning and happy celebration of the Horse Day.
You know, is that a thing? Yeah, it is. And I'll explain why later. It seems like we're having these. It comes up like three times a year.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's National Horse Day.
I had to look it up. Celebration
of the Horse Day. So, Pet a Horse Day.
I have the reason why a little later. Okay. But today we have Auditor Emily on from May Babes Equestrian to talk about her new line of products that will make your wedding extra special. And this month's A Home for Every Horse feature spotlights the Quick Six Ranch in Illinois. Plus, we have some history, some weird news, and then in the Auditor Post Show, we're going to have a special appearance by your son is going to join us. We're going to play the sound game, and it's called the sound game. Do you remember these sounds? In his case, he won't remember them, but these are sounds from the old days when you and I were growing up, and we'll see if he recognizes what they are.
Yeah, I mentioned you said that a minute ago, so I leaned down. I'm like, Lucas, you got to come be on the show in a little bit, and he's like, why? And I go, I don't know. I don't know.
Radio stations used to play these sound games. Remember, they used to play a sound and you'd call in and try and guess what the sound was?
Trying to guess what it is. It's a stapler, stapling an apple core. You
exactly.
know, like weird. Yeah,
exactly. Well, you know how I'm always reporting on things that will kill you in Florida or Australia?
Yes.
I need you to open the link there. That's right at the top of the page. And now New England is getting a dose of deadly things. So giant jellyfish, get this, with tentacles up to 120 feet long, are swarming the beaches of New England. They're called lion's mane jellyfish, and they've turned up along the New England coast, apparently by the thousands. They've been spotted from Massachusetts North Shore to Cape Cod to Nantucket all the way up to Maine. I want you to look at the picture. You know, when you swim in the ocean, jellyfish is always a thing, and I think anybody that's swam in the ocean for any amount of time has been bitten by a jellyfish, and it is not fun. Can you
imagine? Or stung by one. Too.
Do you see the picture of the red jellyfish with the woman?
Oh, my God. What?
Can you tell everybody how big that is?
Well, it's not even a thing. Like, it's not even a thing. Like,
yes, it is.
It looks like it's a red jellyfish. It's a red blob that is, like, laying on the sand. And there's a woman behind it, and she's looked very tiny compared to this thing. But what it looks like is, like, if you eviscerated a Tyrannosaurus Rex and its guts just fell out with on the ground.
It does look like
that's
guts.
What it looks like.
So, you know, anybody that's been stung by a jellyfish knows that it causes sharp burning sensation and red wilts and itching. I mean, it's not fun when you get bit by a jellyfish.
I got stung by one in Hawaii. The Portuguese man o' war wrapped around my leg. I was like, and another 1,900,000,000 reasons why I should not go in the ocean. And this is solidifying it.
Well, this one's even worse, Jamie, because this jellyfish is known to sting even after 25 days after being dead. It can die and still sting you.
Wait, like why?
Things under the ocean. I know a lot of people go snorkeling and scuba diving and stuff. I think things under the ocean are just creepy myself. So
listen, there's a reason we can't breathe underwater. Okay. It's not supposed to happen. But I will say, like this, I'm looking at this thing and what, like, how do they not run the world? Like, what is a predator that can take this thing down?
Who'd want to eat a jellyfish this big? I got to tell you, it's freaky. And if you want to go look it up, just look up lion's mane jellyfish is what they're called. And their tentacles really do go 120 feet. That's a big
thing.
Oh,
my God.
All right. On that note, not only do creepy things happen in Florida and Australia, they also happen in other parts of the world.
Take that, New England!
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
Well, happy birthday to auditors Jen L., Michelle F., Nan R., and a belated birthday for Biddy L. We hope you have a terrific day. Also, I got two packages in the mail today. One we're going to talk a little bit later. We're going to talk about a little bit later when we have our guest on. But the other package I got in the mail yesterday was from Matt. And he's one of our terrific auditors. And do you remember how we had a discussion a little while back about cereal? I don't know how we got on a discussion about cereal, but we did. And I said how I loved Lucky Charms as a kid, and I still love Lucky Charms. But the problem is there's not enough marshmallows in them. Well, Matt apparently found a place that sells just the marshmallows.
Yep.
And he sent me 3 pounds of Lucky Charm marshmallows.
Wait. Those are the marshmallows that weigh nothing.
Nothing. This is a lot. I sent you a picture of the bags of marshmallows. These are enormous bags of marshmallows. I will be eating marshmallows for the next 10 years. And by the way, Matt, this is the best gift I've ever received in my life. Because now I can put the marshmallow to cereal ratio at what it's supposed to be. Jennifer,
dude, whatever. You are going to eat that like popcorn in front of the TV.
You can. That's the problem. So last night, I didn't feel like cooking. So we just had cereal. And I didn't have any Lucky Charms, ironically. So Jennifer had Rice Krispies. She put all these Lucky Charms. There were more Lucky Charms than Rice Krispies, guaranteed. And then I had Corn Flakes. And let me tell you, Corn Flakes are improved tremendously with Lucky Charms.
Can I just say that you married the perfect woman?
I did.
Because literally, you both are so weird. Like, you're so strange. I love you, but you're weird.
I gotta say, though, thanks to this explosive diarrhea conversation going around, which we talked about last week while you were gone, going around the country now being blamed on lettuce, I feel vindicated. It's you people that are causing this.
You know what? Nothing bad is going to happen if you eat 3 pounds of marshmallows from Lucky Charms. You'll be totally, you won't have explosive diarrhea at all.
Matt,
you'll be
fine. Thank you, Matt.
You're both so weird. You're perfect. I mean, when you get married, people, we're going to talk about getting married later. Find the person who compliments you, okay?
Happy anniversary, dear. We have our wedding anniversary tomorrow, 38 years. So
I found opposite. You found the same. Okay, my daily Wendy, I've got a couple. Because one of our awesome auditors posted that Colleen, she said that her pony and her went to the first horse show ever since 2022. And then she posts, and of course, we won both of our classes. And I was like, oh. Well, of course she did. And then I realized there was another line, and it says, because we were the only ones.
How many times have we talked about this before? You're not supposed to admit that, Colleen.
Nobody knows if you have a string of blue ribbons. The other thing I wanted to give a daily Wendy, I too got something in the mail, Glenn. And I got it from our listener, Carol Carter.
3 pounds of marshmallows?
It was not 3 pounds of marshmallows. It was actually like, do you remember when you would like see something in the newspaper, your parents would find something in the newspaper and they would cut it out and like put it on the fridge.
Yeah.
So she found an article in a magazine and like literally cut it out and mailed it to me.
Okay.
And, the title of the article is called, "Are crows really our friends?" And there's a whole, like, it was a really helpful article. It talks about a lot of people, like how you do it. But and then there's a whole, like, just like a little thing called how to befriend a crow. And are you interested in getting to know your local crows? Here's how to get started mindfully. And it goes through the food that you're supposed to give them, and then how to like use your body language to talk to them, and how to create a schedule. And
so join up for crows, basically.
Join up for crows. And I still go out and feed them, and yet none of them will land on my shoulder yet. It's going to happen. And this article literally says they will never land on your shoulder. I'm challenging that. They are going to be my best friends.
I love that she sent it old school. That's great.
Yeah, literally cut it out and folded it up and mailed it to me. Carol, that was so fantastic. And of course, Chad is like, what is that? And I'm like, none of your business. Nothing. I did not just buy 9 pounds of peanuts off Amazon. Again.
Talk about me and marshmallows.
I'm not eating the peanuts.
Hey, the House passed legislation yesterday to allow states to make daylight savings time permanent. How do you feel about this anyway?
You know,
you lived in Arizona where they didn't change it anyway. But
they didn't have it, but they had the one that they're getting rid of was the one. Yeah, in
and
Arizona.
This is the misconception you're reading in the headlines. The headlines are saying the House voted to eliminate daylight savings time. That is not true. What they're voting on, and this is where I think it's going to be a freaking nightmare. They're voted on a bill that would allow states to make daylight saving time permanent. In other words, we could have half the states in this country on one time zone or on one time and half the states on a different time.
As somebody who lived in Arizona where they don't change, this is a total
This
pain
could
in
be
the
a
butt.
Total nightmare. Like, wait, and it's being reported absolutely wrong everywhere. It's because it's up to the states then. Now there are 9 states that have already voted that if the federal government does it, they'll do it. Florida is one of them. But that's only 9 out of 50 states. So your state would then have to vote that way for it to change. So in other words, we could live in Florida one time and it could be a different time in Georgia. So
that is crazy.
So don't necessarily think this is absolutely wonderful yet until all the states get on board.
As an equestrian who used to work for a living in a actual job where I had to travel to take care of my horses, this is fantastic. As somebody who has their horses at home and is finished work by like 4 o'clock, I love it when it gets dark at 5:30. I'm like, night.
We felt the same way as you, actually, because that means it won't get light till 8:30 in the morning, which means you'll be doing your horses in the dark every morning.
But then I get to sleep later, but I want it to get dark earlier. So I have to go inside. It's bear time.
We'll see how this all comes out in the wash. Today is Celebration of the Horse Day. And just like you, I said, well, how did that get started? It seems like we're doing National Horse Day every day now. Well, July 15th celebration began in 2004 as National I Love Horses Day. It wasn't a decree by the Congress or anything. It was a bunch of horse communities that got together and decided to the horse girls got together and said, I'll do what I Love Horses Day. And it was animal welfare advocates and all that stuff. So they all got together and said, we'll do this. Well, over the years, its popularity became more popular and places were starting to do special events and things like that. And many places still call it I Love Horses Day, but it is more well known now as Celebration of the Horse Day. It's not an official federal holiday. That happens in December. On December the 13th, Congress passed a resolution that established National Day of the Horse for December 13th. So that's why it seems like there's more than one of the year, because there is.
Because there should be. Every day is a horse celebration in my house, okay?
So, and then the other thing, other news bit I have for you is out of the Pollock Report. It was a study by the Equine Veterinary Education Journal, and they did a big study on horses traveling in trailers, and what was the amount of distance that you had to go for a horse in a trailer where they would need more recovery time. Okay,
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool, very interesting, very complicated to read story. But to break it down into a couple sentences is they determined that a medium distance of about 186 miles, at that distance, a horse experiences significant measurable oxidative stress. Shorter distances, they didn't seem to have that psychological change and stress that they did when they hit about that 180-mile mark. And because these biochemical imbalances took up to 2 days to fully stabilize, this study now recommends if your horse travels more than 180 miles, you give them 48 hours to rest before you compete them or do strenuous exercise.
Oh, like once they get there, you don't have to stop. They give them 2 days off every 186 miles.
But, if you travel 1,000 miles, whatever, if it's over 186 miles, you shouldn't be showing them the next day. Now, if you're shorter trips, then it's fine. So that's what they determined.
This is exactly why when I have people adopt out horses or they adopt them out and they want trailering, shipping recommendations, I always say, I'm like, hire the big tractor trailer companies. Like Helena was living in Rhode Island and adopted a horse. And I was like for any of these, it needs to be a air ride tractor trailer where they can put their head down. You know, like the longer the ride, the more I'm like, hey, let's be a little more comfortable for them.
Because it does stress them out. You know, well, think about it. Driving for us stresses us out nowadays. I mean, it's going to stress the horse out too. So
absolutely.
Yeah. But this was a study. It's in the Pollock report. You can check that out. It went into a ton more detail than I just did, but that gives you the gist. So many of your horse's medications don't have to be complicated. Chewy makes it simple. Just add your horse's prescription to your cart and check out with your vet's information. Chewy handles the rest by reaching out to your vet for approval and shipping your order right out to the barn in just a few days. From allergy relief to joint support, everything your horse needs is just a few clicks away. Jennifer just ordered vaccinations and gave them to them yesterday. Thus, Chewy's licensed pharmacists are available 24/7. If you have any questions, visit chewy.com/equine to get started today. For trusted care delivered for the life of horses, there's Chewy. And, you know, Chewy bought SmartPak. When I worked at SmartPak for the short time as their consulting, that's when they started the veterinary program there to do prescriptions, and the vets were in-house. So that started many years ago.
They do vaccines.
Yep. So she used to get them from Valley Vet, but she found Chewy was a better offer. So she got them from Chewy this year.
Okay. Well, here, see, this show costs me money every week.
You know, I serve Valley Vet's just fine. It's a good company, but she just got a better deal at Chewy. So
I would love to welcome to the show one of our fantastic listeners, but also a person who has cost me a lot of money. Emily Bentz, hi.
Hello.
So for those who may not know, Emily has been chronicled on our podcast for years, from the beginning of coming up with an idea for a company and getting all the products made. And we've kind of followed Emily along the entire journey of her company. And she sold to all of us the greatest riding pants that there ever was on May Babes Equestrian. And now, Emily, you have decided to twist and turn your business and go a different direction. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that I need to say is that I love having a small business. It's mostly enjoyable. There's days that are a little bit hard.
Yeah.
But I mean, and actually, Glenn, you spoke to this when I had my first interview with you guys, and you talked about how difficult it is to run a business and how many businesses kind of go away or, you know, vanish within so many years of beginning. And
look at me. It makes me sound like the glad tidings guy.
I
mean,
I just remember you being very realistic about it, that it's a very difficult
thing.
Well,
I've started a few and failed at a few. So.
Yeah. But I think that is almost the spirit that you need to bring into having a small business. I think you can't be afraid to catastrophically fail, because the majority of businesses do. But then when you kind of dig deep and keep going, other things kind of rise to the surface, and it's very rewarding in so many ways. And I wake up every morning really excited to go to work, and I love my customers dearly. Many of them are auditors, and I am indebted to them in a million different ways. but you and Jamie both, but I also just, I love having a business. So pivoting it to doing what is most successful for it at this moment was not a hard decision to make. It did take me a long time to make that decision, because I felt like I needed to look at all the data and what was really lighting my customers up and what was making them happy and what was really interesting. But it wasn't a hard decision to make, because I love my business and I am excited to just continue to watch it grow and do its thing. The wedding idea had been with me for a long time. And then I thought, you know, what the heck? I'm going to try to see if what I think would be amazing to wear on my wedding day, or would have been amazing to wear on my wedding day, which was a veil with horses on it, would even resonate with anybody. And so I did some testing, and it hit a couple high notes in some surveys. Press play and had some made. And that has been something that has been incredibly popular.
So what bridal stuff have you decided to venture into?
So I have the veils, and I have another veil that's going to be released soon that's a different style. And then I have, actually, I just got prototypes of these really cute, actually, maybe cute's not the best word to describe. They're very pretty. They're pins for your hair. That one is a horse head with crystals embellished on it. And then the other is more of a traditional hairpin that they kind of go together, so that I want to provide varying degrees of horses for bridal. You know, the veil is a very intense
Tell everybody what it looks like, because if they haven't seen what your veil, it's like a full length bridal veil, and you've got horses like embroidered in it or something.
Yeah. I found a wonderful manufacturer that does embroidering for me. And so we made a cathedral length veil with running horses along the whole edge of it. Yeah. And then the next veil will have embroidery with lace that has horses and lace on it, so that I can try to make it. I was looking at a lot of bridal gowns, and a lot of bridal gowns now are either, you know, fairly simple, or they have a lot of lace. And so I wanted to try to make something that didn't contrast with those things, that it actually fit. And so I found a Chantilly lace that, like a pattern, and had that superimposed with a design with horses on it. And we have that. And then also the lace with a horseshoe pattern that will be covering the veil. That's
I'm kind of pissed, because like when I got married, I was like, I'm on the beach, I'm not gonna wear a veil. I like a grandma's crown or whatever. But dude, if I had the chance for a veil with horses on it, I would have murdered for it. Like, that is awesome. And again, I'm the same horse girl as you. Like, I want to have, like, I would have had running horses across my dress too.
Yeah. Me too. You are my people, Jamie.
Yes, I totally am. So I just love this idea. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like, what a way to get in touch and let horse girls kind of unite in that day where so many of us don't incorporate horses for many reasons. But I love that idea, and I think it's fantastic, and they're just beautiful, and you're just constantly reinventing yourself. I always love to celebrate a woman who like sees a need and just, I'm going to figure out a way to fill it. You know what I mean? And you have done that, and imagine needs that we didn't even know we had.
You know what though, as a business guy, I look at this and say, well, it's a limited market because they're only buying it once, but now people get married three or four times. So it's kind of an unlimited market now.
Yeah. And it's, you know, something that I think comes with age, because I actually just turned 44. I feel like you realize the importance of being genuinely yourself, and not enough brides are told that. I think that there's a lot of constraints of, you know, your family is helping pay for things, or you have certain expectations. And I think that now more than ever, especially as I've gotten older, I've realized the importance of it's a day that will be forever remembered because of photos, you know, and it's obviously my wedding day was one of the best days of my life, you know, and the idea that we cannot go into that day or that experience or those moments being the horse crazy equestrian that we are, like I said, the older I get, I think that's wild that we wouldn't want to be our most genuine self on our wedding day.
That's, well, you know? To be fair, like that's one of the most magical things about getting older is all of a sudden you don't care. Like,
yes,
the We Do Not Care Club. We are all part of it.
Wait till you get in your 60s. You're really not going to care.
Yeah, I don't care. But like all of you that are 20 right now listening, and you're like, oh my God, I'm fat. fat and I'm ugly and I don't like myself and I can't get this boyfriend. You know what? You won't care anymore. At some point, you just won't care. And it's so liberating. And the fact that you just like, you don't care how you like, yeah, you just get to be you. So I love that you're bringing this to the brides. By the way, girls that are 20, you will never be skinnier than you are right now. Okay. Just enjoy it. I promise you. You will net like you'll be like, oh my, like I wish I knew how skinny I was back when I was skinny.
It's appropriate that you're doing this today too, because tomorrow is our 38th wedding anniversary. So
oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know what your wife needs?
She needs a
veil. You know what Jennifer needs? She needs a veil. You need to walk down the patio with your new veil on. So Emily, where can people like get them?
So just on my website, maybabes.com. And then I have been starting to reach out to certain retailers and looking at retail partners. So I've been taking lots of photos of how to display them, because that's been a little bit of the hang up with retailers that I've talked to. They're like, how do we show these to our customers? And so I've been taking all kinds of pictures doing that.
All you need to do is get Randy at Kleinfeld's involved, and then they'll take off. Okay, Glenn, you know, watch Say Yes to the Dress.
Say Yes to the Dress. Oh, my gosh.
Why? I didn't even spend that much time watching, looking at my own dress. But yeah, I'm like, we got to get to Kleinfeld's. We got to get it in there, Emily. It's going to be a thing. Okay. Well, congratulations and good luck. Glenn, I know
Emily, I have has to, something I have, for well, you. I have two things, Emily, before you go. First of all, as we have to mention, Emily was on the first episode of Did I Hear That Right, which was our new show. We had Scott on last week. If you haven't listened to that yet, you need to go over and take a listen to it. Just search for Did I Hear That Right on your podcast player. There's only one. But you have to hear Emily's story. We called it Emily's Bad Decisions, which I think Emily wasn't thrilled about. But and I noticed she hasn't shared it with her friends.
It'll do.
So there's that. But let me tell you what, after you hear it, you'll go, oh my God, Emily's still here. Thank God.
I can't wait. You guys have teased it enough. I'm going to go listen to it today.
You have to. You especially have to, Jamie. And at the, I also wanted to bring up, can you explain to everybody why I got a case of olives in the mail yesterday?
Oh, yeah. You had mentioned green olives. And I live in California, and we have, actually, I'm sitting right next to an olive orchard that our neighbor owns right now. So we are a huge olive capital, and you mentioned green olives. So I just thought that I would send you a lot of green olives.
Well, let me tell you what, Jamie, she sent me an entire case. I sent you a picture, Jamie. She sent me an entire case. There's like 7 or 8 jars of different kinds of green olives. And who knew? They had green olives stuffed with everything you can imagine. And even blue cheese. Oh, you didn't send that one, though, I noticed. The blue cheese.
They had I think I sent the gorgonzola is what.
Yeah, Jennifer's getting those. I'm not doing the gorgonzola one. But thank you for doing this. It really was funny when we opened. It was like, there's more olives. And not one of them broke, you'll be happy to know.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm a
fan. My husband asked about it.
Money. I'm a fan of green money. You can send that. Everybody, you want to say, let's see.
So thank you for doing that. It was so funny when we got it. It was really funny.
Well, I'm glad I was holding the box and I said, I don't know if this is enough. And my husband said, how much does it weigh? I said, 11 pounds. And
my husband said,
it was an 11-pound box of olives.
And as I mentioned, like, that's enough.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, Emily, at the same time, at same day, I get a 3-pound box from Matt of the marshmallows from Lucky Charms. So I now have 3 pounds of marshmallows from Lucky Charms.
Do you know what's happening, Glenn?
What?
Everybody's trying to kill you. Okay?
The gorgonzola olives might just do that, actually.
I know. Maybe olives. They're all, fun. No, Emily, that's so sweet. Thank you for doing
Emily.
That. And congratulations on being the new episode. And then congratulations on your new business venture. We're so excited to watch it, watch you just blossom. I'm so excited for you.
Well, thank you both so much for your long-term support. It really, I cannot say thank you enough. It's very hard to articulate just how much both of you have been so supportive and how much I appreciate it.
As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care. Routine and unexpected expenses can quickly add up, making it hard to keep pace. So wouldn't it feel great to be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage these costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can help give you financial peace of mind. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you get to care your horse needs and then pay over time in easy monthly payments. You can use Care Credit at more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals. That accept the card, and you can pay for everything from annual exams, vaccinations, parasite controls, procedures, nutrition diagnostics, and surgery. My small animal also takes it. Large, small, they don't care. Care Credit, it's your card for a lifetime of care subject to credit approval. To learn more and apply, visit carecredit.com/horses and pets.
This month's A Home for Every Horse feature spotlights the Quick Six Ranch in Edwardsville, Illinois. We're pleased to welcome Executive Director James Castelli to discuss their important work. Well, good morning, James. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Glenn.
So you're in Illinois, is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Edwardsville, Illinois, which is 20 minutes east of St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you are near a metropolitan area then?
Absolutely.
So Quick Six Ranch, first of all, how did it get its name?
So that was actually my grandfather's flagship Amoco gas station here in Edwardsville was the Quick Six. And so in honor of him, I started the Quick Six Ranch.
I can picture that gas station. I can just picture it. Two pumps. And your grandfather was out there pumping gas for everybody.
Yeah, it was full service at one point.
Yeah, it would have been back then, right?
Yeah.
I love that. So how did you decide to get into the Mustang business?
Actually, I was on a rescue for a Tennessee Walker. And when I got up there, the lady had Mustangs. And I was really excited. I've always wanted a Mustang. And I started questioning her about it. And she said, hey, you do know there's a facility down the road from you, a holding pen. And I was clueless to that. So I ended up going along with her because I could back a trailer really well. She'd never been to that facility and said, hey, if you know, I'll take you along, give you the tour. If you can come along and if I get in trouble, you can get my trailer out. And I said, absolutely. And so that's kind of how I ended up in the cause.
That's all it took. Were you always a horse guy?
Yes, since I was 5 years old.
All right. So you knew horses. It wasn't like Mustangs were your first time in the pool.
No, I was actually a top youth rider in Tennessee Walkers when I was 17 for the Midwest.
Okay. All right. So you went from Tennessee Walkers to Mustangs, a little difference there. So you just started rescuing them and working with them at that point?
Well, to back up a little bit, as a kid, my family, you know, we had a horse ranch. We had a little more than Tennessee Walkers, but the Humane Society was getting in a horse and they were kind of freaking out because they didn't know what to do with it. And one of the volunteers was good friends with my parents and said, well, let me talk to this couple. Their son's amazing with horses. Maybe they'll, you know, maybe they'll foster for us. And so a foster became fosters. And then fast forward in my life, I started just on my own saving horses from going to slaughter. And, you know, I'd rehab one here and there and just kind of a thing I was doing on the side.
Got it. And then it became more than that. So do you get them all out of the pens at this point, or you know, where are the rescues coming from?
So I try to do auction intercept. I try not to give the kill buyers any money whatsoever.
Okay.
So I go to Cuba, Missouri. They have, in fact, I don't even have to go there. The best part is they have an online bidding, so you can watch live video streams of the auction. You can bid online. It's an hour and a half away from me, and I work a day job. We're 100% volunteer, so nobody gets paid from our organization. So the money that's donated to our organization goes to save the animals, goes to vet the animals, to feed the animals. So I'll do auction intercept when I realize that there's a good horse, you know, 10, 11, almost midnight, going to go to a kill pen. I'll just outbid them.
So, and that, so the, you, that's how you bring them all in. Do you work with them then? Are you, is the idea to train them at all, or what do you do?
Absolutely.
After you get them?
Yeah. So we also have a veterans program. So the veterans will help desensitize, work with the horses, and it serves two purposes. You know, one, yeah, we are rehabbing and rehoming a horse, but you're also giving a veteran a purpose. And when veterans have purpose, that takes them out of their depression, helps them feel that feeling of accomplishment that, you know, we had when we were on active duty. You miss that when you get out. And so, you know, being able to see the result of, hey, we just sent this horse to an equine therapy program for kids because of what you did, that's a big accomplishment for a veteran.
How do the veterans find out about you?
Word of mouth. Really, that's, I am part of a VFW, local VFW here. I'm a board member. Also, we're paired with the Veterans Community Project in North St. Louis, which is a tiny home village for homeless veterans. So them and their counselors will come out and hang out with the animals and work with them.
Is it hard to convince? I always wanted to ask this, and we've had veterans programs on before. Is it hard to get the veteran over the hump of going to work with a horse, or do they want to, or do they think it's silly at first? You know, what do they think at first?
So we have all types that come out, and we don't push. So if somebody comes out and they say, hey, I just want to do a project, I don't want anything to do with horses. Well, this is a ranch. We have tons of projects. So,
there's some fence that needs fixed. There's always fence that needs fixed.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Or, you know, painting posts or putting up a gate or something to that level, or putting up a shelter, putting up a pen for a horse. That's an accomplishment. So we consider that a win, especially for the Veterans Community Project. You know, they're up in North St. Louis. That's a rough area. Mm-hmm. So when they come out here and they just want to, you know, hang out, I'm perfectly fine with that, because that's getting them out of that area. That's letting them decompress.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot better on the farm. And do you find that once they start working with the horses that a lot of them hang around for a very long time, or do you have a specific amount of time?
It varies. There's some that are very committed to it. There's others that aren't. One of the things that, you know, they want to do is they want to transition that veteran into a job, into a home, and get them stability. So when those veterans, you know, move from the tiny home village to their normal home, they're a little overwhelmed with work and home upkeep and things like that. And that's understandable, because now, you know, they have a purpose. They're, you know, they're working a job. They're taking care of their home. Some have families, some have kids, grandkids, whatever that may be. So that's a good thing if they're leaving for that reason.
Do you have one of the horses that's really good at this, that you've kept around because that horse is really good at this?
Funny thing is, they're actually our donkey.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. Our donkey, Stella, she's known in the area. We call her the almost famous donkey. That Stella, she'll be at the fence. If we do it during the summer, it's usually Saturday mornings. That's convenient for everybody. In the winter, we do Sunday afternoons because it's a little warmer, but she knows that time window, and she's standing at the fence line looking for everybody. And she's just amazing when we take her to events.
Do you have a favorite Mustang, that one that you ride? Because, you know, this is my horse now.
Honestly, mine's still a Tennessee Walker.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Mustangs that we have one right now that I just did an auction intercept. He's the only rideable one now. He's pretty cool, but I think I already have him a home.
Oh, good. Yay.
Yeah.
So you adopt them out. I know it's by appointment only, so they would have to contact you. And so they do contact you, and that's how they can find out what you have on the farm? Or
absolutely. Yeah. And the reason why we're by appointment only is, like I said, we all have day jobs. We're not paid. We do this out of the kindness of our heart.
I know how much work that is. We had a farm with 30 horses. Good on you, because that's a lot of work.
It is. And the nonprofit doesn't pay for any equipment. I pay for that. And that's kind of how I got started in the nonprofit, was somebody said, hey, become a nonprofit. And I said, nah, I don't want to deal with all that and the paperwork and things like that. But then I was on a rescue and I had a breakdown and thought to myself, well, if I wasn't using my own money to save horses, I could have better equipment. I could, you know, whatever that may be. And so that's when I started the nonprofit, where the nonprofit does save the horse, but I provide the equipment to do it.
Oh, wow. Okay. How do you fit it all in and have a life?
It is my life.
That's always the answer.
Well, you know, I was a Marine, so I can really balance a lot. And, you know, I can have a pretty good schedule, and I still get out and have fun, go do line dancing, the fun stuff that we have around here, be an active member in the VFW. It's all just based on balance. Now, don't get me wrong. Things, you'll have a day where something will go sideways, and I'll go, well, I guess I'm not getting lunch today, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, anybody that has a farm has those days, right? I mean, that's
absolutely. That's, that just comes with the territory.
Right. We've all had those days. So how can people help you out?
The best way to do is go to our webpage, which is www.quicksixranch.org. They can contact us that way, fill out our volunteer interest form. They can donate that way. They can also call me directly on my cell phone. Our Facebook page, Castelli's Mustang and Horse Sanctuary, you can get a hold of us through that. But honestly, the best way is our webpage, which is www.quicksixranch.org.
And can people volunteer to help out if they are not veterans?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Very good. Well, everybody in that area, Illinois and Indiana, you know where Edwardsville is. So check out quicksixranch.org. Thanks, James.
Love what you're hearing, but wish you could take the entire Horse Radio Network with you on the trail? Well, you can. Instead of hunting for every individual show, just search for the Horse Radio Network. All shows feed in your favorite podcast app. It's one subscription that delivers every single episode from across our entire network. From Western to English, health tips to humor, directly to your phone. Don't miss a single stride. Subscribe to the HRN All Shows feed today.
It's time for This Day in Equine History. And on July 15th, 1959, the Associated Press published a staggering national front page expose on the brutal exploitation of wild horses in the American West. The article detailed how Mustangers were aggressively harvesting wild herds for commercial pet food. Didn't know that one, huh? The piece was the match that lit the massive grassroots campaign led by Velma Braun Johnson, known as Wild Horse Annie. And the public outcry from all of this press coverage at that time forced Congress to act, and eventually culminating in the landmark Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act to protect the wild herds on public lands. So I don't think I knew about this part, about why that act came into being. And I didn't know that it was in 1959. It was that long ago. So good job, Wild Horse Annie.
As a child, I read a book about her. She basically would see these trucks with the bloody horses that had been run into them going to the slaughterhouse, and she would follow them and look. And she started a letter writing campaign to all the school children all over. It's kind of what Ashley Avis is trying to do now. Like all the school children all over the country sent letters to Congress, getting them to stop slaughtering wild horses. Like she was the Anna Sewell of today in the 70s, or I guess 50s.
50s, yeah, long time ago. Well, 25 years ago in the Flathead Valley of Kalispell, Montana. What happened, Jamie? It kicked off one of Eventing's favorite three-day events. The event at Rebecca Farms celebrates its 25th anniversary
this
year.
That was 25 years ago? God, I remember when that started.
And this is every eventer in the United States wants to go to Kalispell, because if you see the pictures from there, it's just stunning. It's 640 acres of mountainous terrain and just the best views ever. So it's always one. If I had it on a bucket list to do one other event, it would be this one. It would definitely be Rebecca Farm, because everybody has such good things to say about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, congratulations to them on 25 years. Before we get into weird news, this kind of qualifies as weird news, but also as a just what the hell. Robin Hutton, who we all know from Sergeant Reckless fame, and who we're going to have on because she was just over in South Korea and she had so many cool things in South Korea. So I wanted to mention this. She posted this morning, and she made it public, so I can talk about it. She has a store on her website, right?
Oh.
Well, fraudsters, what happens here is there are these bots that test out stolen credit card numbers. So they pick out a website that's smaller. That's not, they don't pick out a Amazon. They pick out a small website, doesn't have much traffic. And then what they do is they get these bots to hit the website testing credit cards for like $10 charges or $20 charges just to see if the credit cards work. So that's what they do, but they do them thousands at a time. Get this. This happened to her yesterday. All of the credit card numbers were stolen. They attempted 544,000 charges.
What?
$10.7 million they tried to charge. And considering that was $20 charge, $12 to $20 charges, that's a lot. It's 544,000 charges. Fortunately, her back end, her what she uses for her credit card charges, caught them all and didn't let any go through. But they were inundated, apparently to the point where they brought them offline for a little bit. But the problem was that the charges show up from her as an attempted charge. So she had dozens of people contacting her saying, why'd you try to charge me? And I don't even know who she is. 544,000 of them.
So these were not past customers. These are just random people that are getting charges.
Steal credit cards, and then they use these computer bots to do this. So the 544,000 charges probably went through in an hour because they have multiple computers just hitting it.
Wow.
Can you believe that? Isn't that crazy? Yeah, thank God her company was, it was enough. But she's going to have to deal with all these people asking, the question. She has to say, hey, look, it wasn't me. But yeah, that's how they do it.
Isn't too bad nuts? She didn't get that $10 million.
Yeah, that'd have been more problems. But God, Robin, we need to have you on the show, by the way.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Yes, it's that time of the week where you have been sending me weird news that's happening in your neighborhood or all over the world. Basically, if you see something in the news and you're like, oh my God, that is so weird, email it to me, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Just like, now this is a couple weeks worse. Shelly, Amanda, Susan, Kelly, by the way. She gets a bonus. She sent me like 45 stories. It's insane. Like, she found weird news everywhere. And then she sends me an email cussing me because she's like, now my algorithms are all off and all she's getting and seeing is like the weird, gross stuff. Sorry, Kelly, but thank you. Janelle, Laureen, Katie, Jolyn, Matt, Michelle, Carrie, Charlotte. Did I say all the, I don't know, whatever. Y'all are all awesome and I appreciate it. Now, the first story, I'm going to tell you about a home invasion, Glenn. And this is happening in a very peaceful town, Avon, Connecticut.
I know. I've been to Avon. Yeah.
Have
yeah,
you? Yeah. Well, you wouldn't think of it as like a crime-ridden area, would you?
No, it's more affluent, actually.
So there was a couple who was asleep at the time, and they were awakened to the noise of their refrigerator door opening. And they heard some stuff clinking around. And so they realize that their home is being broke into and somebody's gone into their refrigerator. And it's like, I don't know. I'm assuming stealing food or drinks or whatever. They jump out of bed. Of course, she's like, you go down and see him. Homeowner Tim Sullivan hops down the stairs and, he's probably, I can just envision like some dude in his underwear with like a baseball bat walking down the stairs. And somebody was stealing their lasagna and beer out of their fridge. Who was it, Glenn?
If past stories are any indication, I would say a very large black bear.
It was a bear! Ding, 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 ding! The bear took their beer and a leftover plate of lasagna.
The beer has good taste, right?
That was actually like one of like 20 bear stories. So just know that everybody in the country, you have had a bear experience. If you haven't, your neighbor has. So it was crazy, like how many bear stories I got. So that was just one, like, yep, don't feed the bears. Well, what about if they come in and feed themselves? I don't know what to do. You know that the weird news stories are going to be super weird if my second story is about a Florida woman. Okay. So there's a Florida woman who had been arrested. I guess she was driving. She was driving erratically, veered across Brevard County Highway at 6:40 in the morning on Saturday. And so she got pulled over by the cops, and the cops are like, get out of the car. And she's like, no. The cops are like, you look stoned and your car smells like weed. Like, it smelled, they said, of burnt marijuana. So she's like, I'm not getting out. Finally, she gets out, and then she tries to walk away as the deputy tries to grab her. She was then arrested and put in the car and taken to the local jail. And during the jail intake process, you know, they x-ray you now. They make sure you don't have like a shiv or look at me talking hard. A knife. She had to pass through an x-ray scanner. And as she was passing through they get the x-ray, they found an anomaly in her quote lower region. Okay. So she was brought into a room and they were like, take it off, strip down. And so I'm assuming she had to take off her clothes, where at this point she was trying to cover her rear with her hands. And like, they're like, hey, what are you doing? She's like, nothing. There's nothing. And again, they've seen something on the x-ray. I feel like I'm getting in too deep with this. Basically, upon moving her hand,
they found a jellyfish.
That would be better. When that big, when she moves her hand, as she's moving her hands, a big giant bag of cocaine falls out of her butt.
She might have been better off with the jellyfish, actually.
What happens when the cops are like, oh my god, there's a big giant bag of cocaine that just fell out of your butthole? What did she say, Glenn?
It wasn't mine. I don't know how it got there.
It's not mine. Somebody put that there. I didn't know it was there. Yeah, she got arrested for that.
You know, that one works sometimes. Not in this case.
It's not mine. Along with the large amount of bear stories that I got, I also got a large amount of things spilling onto the freeway out of tractor trailers. So I'm going to take the two that I'm fans of both of these things. And both of these things, if I was driving by, I might have to stop and claim some. So first, in Salisbury, Connecticut, Glenn, what in Connecticut do you think overturned on the freeway near Twin Lakes Road? It was a crash. The truck flipped over and all the contents spilled out onto the road.
Well, it has to be beer in Connecticut.
You got it, baby. Nick Ultra. God, you're on it today.
Well, okay? You remember my whole family was from Connecticut. So
I got another one about hot dogs spilling out onto the freeway.
Oh, we had and the bees then in Texas. That story about the big tractor trailer truck and bees in Texas.
Yep. That was another one. And then let's see, where did I put it? What kind of beer,
by the way, did it say?
Michelob Ultra.
Oh, well, there you Michelob go. That'd be worth stealing a few.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you had a chance to try to steal this one, but this is on a Ohio highway, and it was summer, and there was a wreck with a tractor trailer. And I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. Were these things in glass, encased in their typical glass bottles? Or was it just like, you know how they put milk in a milk truck and it's like just a tractor trailer full of milk? Like, how did this happen? What spilled onto the freeway, Glenn? 40,000 pounds of Frank's Red Hot sauce. And as you know, the like the tagline for that is I put that S on everything, you know, it's this old age. I do put it on everything, and now it's all over the freeways. So there's going to be a little bit less Frank's Red Hot in the market.
Suits to clean that one up.
Oh, yeah. They had to dispatch. It was near Columbus. They had to send out the EPA.
Because I bet they did.
It was like they had to send out. They had to work quickly to keep the spilled sauce out of the storm drains because it's so acidic it would like ruin the food, which makes me a little concerned of how much I consume and just how frightening it was. It's just peppers. It's fine.
You know what? Yeah, you put that on your lettuce, it'd probably kill that bacteria that's causing all the problems.
See, we're solving the world's problems today, Glenn. That's amazing. Well said. Unfortunately, I do.
Okay.
I mean, I really like, I know there's people listening that are from Indiana. And I would like to say that, especially Fort Wayne, Indiana, I had a roommate from there and she was absolutely bananas. And so I have said pretty much for the rest of my life, because of this one person, I'm like, everybody in Indiana is crazy. Just, I think if you're from Indiana, you're probably crazy. And if you're listening to this and you're from Indiana, you are a horse person, which of course in turn makes you crazy. Just how it is. I don't make the rules. I just follow them. So I'm going to talk to you about a man in Indiana. And I can't figure out why this happened. Okay. So this guy calls the police and he's like, hey, I got stabbed. I need the police to come. And as the police are coming, I'm not going to deep dive into this story because he says he's been stabbed and then there's a fire at his house. And so the police come and they go to help him. And he's like, you know what? I wanted to be truthful. I didn't get stabbed. And they're like, what? There's blood everywhere. What do you mean you didn't get stabbed? And the fire and all this, like, what's going on? And so he's like, I'm coming clean. I cut off my penis and I lit it on fire. And that's why there was a fire.
I'm not going to ask. I just don't want to know why.
Court records do not detail whether the genitals were ever located.
Pretty My sure guess they is no.
He was arrested for arson. I feel like he's paid enough, but yeah. He did it to himself. So...
Drugs are bad, people. Drugs are bad.
Bad. Why at 2 o'clock in the morning he was called? Nothing bad happens after midnight, children. Nothing.
Especially when drugs are involved. Oh, God.
Oh, my
now, I
God.
I feel like we need a cleansing story to get away from that one.
Please. I shouldn't have saved that one for last, no. But I knew it would ruin the day.
No, you shouldn't have saved that one.
And by the way, the 40 of you that sent me that story, you're all suspects, okay?
I think I sent you a nicer story than that one. I didn't send
I don't
you
know
one.
Which one you sent me. I can't remember.
Oh, anyway. All right. Well, on that note, auditors, hang on. We're going to do a post show for you. And for some of you, this is going to bring back some memories. And for Lucas, it's going to be a challenge. Let's put it that way. He's going to join us in a post show. All right. You go get him. Everybody, we'll see you back here on Friday.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld. Bye.
Your ads into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com.